Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Stand Up Speak Up, a podcast dedicated to spreading awareness about social issues that usually get swept under the rug. I'm your host, Carla Stevens-Tolstoy, and this episode comes to you thanks to the support of Wearable Therapy by Toki. Today we are going to be doing things a little differently. We're going to delve into a subject that's near and dear to us at Stand Up Speak Up. We have reporter Drew Penner, who heads the heart of Northwestern Ontario, to look into the story of an Aboriginal girl who went missing and learns about a mother's search for answers after her daughter's body turned up in Lake of the Woods. This story offers a unique glimpse into what lies behind the headlines about missing and murdered Native women in Canada, and reveals just how difficult it can be to tackle these sorts of important issues. Although Aboriginal women make up a small portion of Canada's population, about 4.3%, they account for 11.3% of the country's missing women and 16% of female homicides. There are similar statistics for American Aboriginal women. It's an issue faced by Indigenous people throughout the world. We can help spread awareness and enlighten people about what's going on. And that's what today's podcast is really about.
Delaine Copenes was prepared for the zombie apocalypse. The 16-year-old girl from Kenora, Canada, loved watching sci-fi and horror movies, joking around with her sisters, and collecting Pokemon. She was quiet, but had a huge imagination, and was always recruiting friends and family to get in on the fun. Her mom, Anita Ross, describes her as a hardcore gamer with a wide range of interests.
Like, she even played expert level on Guitar Hero. Like, she was just, like, that good. I couldn't even play easy. The easy level, I'd just be like... And she'd be like, Mom, you suck!
Anita remembers how Delaine would yell at the screen when she died while playing video games. She never thought she'd be found dead in the lake in real life.
You can actually see the dock from here, way over there. So there's one, two, three, and then the fourth dock. That's where her body was found.
Delaine, a native girl of Ojibwe heritage, was last seen by her family February 27, 2016, when her older sister was picked up and taken to the drunk tank by police around 6 p.m. After an evening of hanging out with friends downtown Kenora, Delaine apparently vanished into thin air. Her body was found March 22, 2016, in Lake of the Woods, just off Water Street, a few hundred meters from a police detachment.
Must have been surprising, though, the fact that it was right on the doorstep, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Delaine's disappearance was linked to calls for a national inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada, when her name became a trending topic on Twitter, with many of the commenters including the MMIW hashtag.
Who knows? I mean, there's been cases, especially out in the West, where the guys sort of got the Aboriginal women and just force-feed them alcohol.
And while police found no evidence of foul play, Delaine's mom continues to believe her daughter might have been murdered.
That's what I told the police. I said, none of their stories match. I said, they keep changing. Every time I approach them, they change.
You're listening to Stand Up, Speak Up by Toki. There's a real problem with Native women and girls going missing or being murdered in Canada. A few years ago, a report by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police found there had been about 1,200 incidents of missing and murdered Aboriginal women between 1980 and 2012. Just a few days ago, the Canadian government said they think this figure is wrong and that the number is way higher. Native organizations say police haven't taken the suspicious deaths and disappearances of Aboriginal women and girls seriously. Calls for a national inquiry were refused by our previous Conservative government, who said police and the courts were doing a fine job of dealing with the issue. Justin Trudeau, who became Prime Minister several months after Delaine's body was found, won Aboriginal Canadians over in part by promising to tread down this path. The government launched a $54 million inquiry last fall, but critics say 10% of the money's already been spent. In any event, missing and murdered Indigenous women, or hashtag MMIW, as the topic's referenced on social media, has become top of mind for many Canadians. But you know how it is. When you turn something into a topic of national significance, you risk minimizing the individual stories. So, we wanted to zoom in on one case in particular to see behind the political wrangling and lift the cover on the serious factors involved in missing and murdered Indigenous women. That way, we can raise awareness about unseen challenges of race relations in an otherwise friendly country and shine the spotlight on an interesting girl who died too soon. Now we're going to take a closer look. While researching for the podcast, I came across a talented young rapper from Kenora named Quentin Larry Roy Cameron. So the first thing we're going to do today is play a little bit of a song he wrote that pays homage to the community and talks about what life is like in Kenora.
I'm from Kenova, Ontario. I play so amiable with a scenario that is expandable. You were acknowledged from Husky to Musky. The skyline is flawless, the place that you must see, because it is very pleasing to the senses. But it is freezing and the wind is present. But we can handle the cold in the north with this warm candle that we call a torch. Unlike the woods in our western Ontario, most neighborhoods in Kenova, Ontario enjoy the hobbies before it is spring. Snowboarding, hockey is a common thing. And with every New Year, we drink some OE. And during that New Year, we smoke that OG. I was born as a stunner and city, Cape Town. I'll tell you what summer is like around my hometown.
Kenora is absolutely stunning Canadian shield country. It's covered by boreal forests, lakes, and tons of ice and snow in the winter. In fact, the temperature often drops to the negative double digits. It's located right on the northern end of Lake of the Woods, one of the largest freshwater bodies of water in the world. I've got to be honest, we were pretty hesitant to do a story based on Kenora. Both Carla, my editor, and I have a connection to the place, and it's always toughest to look into challenging topics in your own backyard. I grew up in the community, and she spends her summers there. We first linked up to work on a podcast series about missing and murdered Aboriginal women right as I was heading back for a visit at Christmas. We hadn't talked about how we wanted to do that. When we realized we had this random connection to the place, we started to include cases from the community in our search. But I would have to be convinced to pick a story based on my hometown.
So I remember you sending me an email saying that you weren't sure if it was going to be appropriate for us to do a story with somebody from Kenora. And we both kind of agree with that, because we were both kind of afraid of the pushback, or afraid of, a small community kind of getting upset about us doing a story on them when neither of us lived there right now.
After I met Anita Ross, the mother of 16-year-old Delaine Copinus, who went missing 1 year ago, I knew I had to tell her story. I'd first begun researching the death of Azrea Kokopinus. This was a girl who went missing from the hospital for a period of time last year before she was found in the forest across the street by the dam, apparently having committed suicide. Her family released a video of her days earlier being arrested by the police in a field across town.
Hey, why don't you get the female cop to arrest her?
it's hard to tell what's going on in the video. Some experts say it appears the officer used restraint, but regardless, it's become an example local Native people point to of police brutality.
Here we are at the site of King George School, overlooking the old skate park site and the recreation center. Interesting to have this towering in the background of that video. It helps put everything in perspective. It does raise legitimate concerns.
The local member of provincial parliament helped push for answers, but these efforts didn't result in an inquiry.
Why don't you call the female cop to arrest her?
New question, the member from Kenora Rainy River.
Thank you, Speaker. To the Premier. In April, Ezrea Coco-Panes, a 14-year-old girl and member of the Grassy Narrows First Nation, walked away from the Lake of the Woods Hospital in Kenora, and she was found dead 2 days later. There's a lot we don't know about what happened to Ezrea. Why did the police drop her off at the hospital? Why did she walk away? But what we do know from her father is that Ezrea needed help. Ezrea was involved in the child welfare system and under the care of the hospital when she went missing. Speaker, will the Premier commit to bring the Coco-Panes family and her community of Grassy Narrows some peace and back their call for a coroner's inquest?
What I'd found out was Ezrea had been dealing with mental health issues, and she had a brother who died recently. He'd been suffering from mercury poisoning as a result of industrial contamination of the river by their home reserve. In Canada, Native people were forced to live on these generally undesirable pieces of land called reserves, so companies could have at the natural resources everywhere else, and so property could be given to settlers. You know, colonization and all that. In the 1960s, an upstream paper mill in Dryden, Ontario, was using mercury as part of its papermaking process. A whole bunch of it ended up in the river and poisoned the Native people on reserves like White Dog and Grassy Narrows, where Ezrea's family lived. I asked my grandpa, who ran a sawmill in the area with his brothers at the time, and he said, while their operation was too small to consider using mercury, it would have been unsurprising for a company the size of the Dryden paper mill to just bury the waste chemicals or dump it in the river. Recently, tests have suggested mercury is somehow still leaking into the river system, but the provincial government has been resisting putting money into a further cleanup. I had a roommate in Toronto named Patrick who took his life. And I know how painful and incomprehensible it can be to deal with that kind of loss. So instead of focusing on Ezrea for the podcast, I decided the best way to honor her memory was to spend some time with one of my old neighbors whose son took his life. It was Christmas after all, and I'm glad I took the time to do it. The next day, I decided to give my friend Yari a call. He's from the White Dog Reserve, but lives in eastern Ontario now. We used to play in a band together. He told me there's been a lot of recent examples of negative interactions between his Native friends and the police, on top of the regular chaos back home.
Yeah, he was biking home, and I guess like two cruisers, like the big ones, the SUVs stopped him and his buddy, and they asked him where were they going and stuff, and they were just like, what? They were smiling at him, and they're like, biking around, like, why are you biking around so late? And they were like, what? Like, they were just being harassed and asked all these millions of questions, and they just finally just had the smart idea to take out their phones and record the guys. And the police got mad and they were trying to arrest them. We're not drinking, we're not doing anything illegal, we're on our bikes. Yes, it's after hours, but you know what? We're grown-ups. We're grown men.
He suggested I contact his friend Anita. She's been asking a lot of questions, he said, about how her daughter, Delaine Coco-Panes, ended up in the water near the shore with weird marks on her body.
I guess she has twin girls and two other girls. And one of her twin girls there was last seen downtown, and they don't know what happened to her. She went missing, and I saw it all on Facebook. I was living down south at the time.
I mean, Kenora is a place where the ice gets 2 feet thick in the winter. Thick enough to drive on.
And Ross said that there was like bruises and stuff on her wrist. They were saying there was no foul play, so I was like kind of confused, like, because the autopsy said, oh, she drowned.
I met with Anita at a Tim Hortons coffee shop, a de facto community hub.
Oh my goodness. Beautiful black, long hair.
And her hair was like this.
Down to her waist, eh?
Yeah, her waist.
I don't know how to describe that.
It's a medallion.
It's a medallion.
A beaded medallion.
Okay.
One of my relatives made it for me after we found her. So it only took a couple days to make.
Delaine had three siblings. The oldest, Darian, was the outgoing one. Lori, the next youngest, was a bit quieter. In the same way, Dana was a bit more adventurous than her fraternal twin, Delaine, who was a real introvert. Lori joined us for the interview.
I would often catch them where they'd like just be sitting next to each other and they'd be holding hands. She'd like pester her sister and she'd be like, Delaine, Delaine, Lita. And then Delaine was like, ah, you know, it was like, I miss those. I'm like, those are memories we're never gonna, we won't be able to make more.
Is that Christmas, eh?
Was that was our last Christmas.
Last year.
Delaine and her sisters grew up in Anigaming, a reserve south of Kenora. When their parents broke up, they moved to Winnipeg with their mom. Eventually, they moved to Kenora, partly to be closer to their Aboriginal heritage, and partly because Anita was starting to freak out about all the stories of Native women going missing from Winnipeg. That city has a reputation as one of the most dangerous places in Canada per capita. Once the girls got to Kenora, they lived near the mall downtown, went to powwows, and were pretty typical high school kids.
So this is another one. This one's cute.
You want to hear a joke?
Yeah.
Did you hear that guy who lost his whole left side?
No.
He's all right now.
What is the official story of how they think the night progressed? Like, how did she end up in the water?
It's Saturday, February 27th, 2016. A fun multi-day get-together comes to an end at Delaine's house when her mom, Anita, finally decides to kick everyone out. It wasn't anything out of control. But there was plenty of vodka, drinking games, music, dancing, that sort of thing. Visitors leave, and ultimately, Delaine and her older sister Darian wind up reconnecting with the others. They head out in search of a party. It's the last time Anita will see her daughter alive. The northwestern Ontario winter is unforgiving. Over 24 hours, the temperature will drop from above freezing to below minus 14 degrees Celsius. Some of the group try to buy alcohol at the liquor store, but they're unsuccessful. Suddenly, police swoop in and arrest Delaine's older sister Darian for public intoxication and haul her away. Apparently, Darian asked to be dropped off at home, but she's taken to the police station at the east end of town to sober up instead. Now, Delaine doesn't really have too many friends of her own. She mostly hangs out around the house, watching movies, listening to MP3s, playing video games, and doing things with her family. She's not super comfortable with people she doesn't know. But that night, she goes with the flow. She was definitely part of the afternoon revelry back home, but by 5:55 p.m., when her sisters picked up, she was clearly coherent enough to escape serious police scrutiny. They start trudging around town, trying to come up with a plan of what they're going to do. Supposedly, they aren't able to find anyone to sell them weed, but they do manage to buy two growlers of Sultana Gold beer at the Lake of the Woods Brewing Company. That's North American Blonde Ale, and has an alcohol content of 5%. That's just under a six-pack of beer. They decide to head to one of the few places they can think of to drink and hang out, the infamous Lila's Block. Now, imagine the sketchiest place you can think of in your own town. That's the kind of place we're talking about. Homeless people have been known to sneak into Lila's Block at night to get out of the cold and sleep in the hallways. There's a lot of drug use. It's not exactly the kind of place you want your daughter to be hanging out. And I'm sure it would have scared the crap out of Delaine too. At least a little bit. But it's right on Main Street. And if you're underage, as some of them were, it's a place you can drink without having to worry about the cops catching you. One of the participants said overall, Delaine was having fun and didn't actually drink that much. And then she's gone. Support for Stand Up Speak Up comes from Wearable Therapy by Toki. Your choices matter, and you can use fashion as a tool to make people think. Head over to wearable-therapy-toki, that's with two eyes, .com, to check out a wide range of unique, ethically manufactured apparel designed to spark a conversation on the issues you care about most. And thanks for tuning in.
Just a quick interjection. I'm Zach Tolstoy, one of the founders of Stand Up Speak Up. Our podcast is just one part of the Stand Up Speak Up brand. We are supported by an online store of the same name where we sell a variety of artisan products. We have an ongoing blog series with over a dozen contributors, and we offer a series of interactive workshops. Throughout the different iterations of Stand Up Speak Up, our core message and purpose have always been the same: to create a site that allows our customers and us more opportunities to speak up about and support causes, organizations, and groups that we're passionate about, and that of course could use additional support. My mother and I have learned about allyship over the years from what feels like 1,001 places and people. We want to encourage members of this fantastic Stand Up Speak Up community to come along and learn with us. So along with our team, we created this workshop featuring videos, articles, and exercises that have really helped the two of us in our own journey towards allyship. Don't worry, it doesn't cost any money, and you don't need to make an account to access the information. We wanted to make our workshop as accessible as possible because we believe in our message and understand the importance of spreading awareness. The Ally Workshop is split into 8 parts, including interactive quizzes and helpful videos. It's intended to introduce you to new skills and courses of action in the world of allyship. The workshop is easy to use and can be done entirely on your cell phone, tablet, or computer at your own pace, with each of the 8 sections taking an average of about 15 minutes or so to complete, or a breezy couple hours on a Sunday afternoon.
Delaine's mom, Anita, woke up from a nap and realized she was missing 2 of her girls. She wondered where on earth they might have gone.
There was no sign of them anywhere, Darian or Delaine.
Anita even called the hospital, fearing something could have gone terribly wrong.
I tried hard not to worry.
No one had seen either of them.
And trying to see if maybe they hurt themselves and, you know.
She was about to find out her worries weren't misplaced. Eventually, she locates her oldest daughter by calling the police station around 11 p.m. But there's a problem. No one has any idea where Delaine, the shy girl who's been wandering around town with some people she barely knows, could possibly be. So they start to make phone calls, scour the streets. It's the beginning of a massive search effort that will bind the city with a small town feel together in new ways. The result will be tragedy and a lingering mystery. Hundreds of people took part in the effort to find the 16-year-old Aboriginal girl. People from far and wide jumped on social media to share the story of the youth who disappeared without a trace, adding Delaine's name to the growing list of missing Native girls in Canada. They used the missing and murdered Indigenous women hashtag to raise the alarm. At a time when the Canadian government was adamantly blocking people who wanted an inquiry on the subject, her name became part of a broader conversation. In a way, though, Delaine's story stood out, too. This was not some drug-addicted teen from a broken home or living on a dysfunctional remote reserve who took an at-risk lifestyle too far. Delaine was a good student with bright prospects who just happened to be Ojibwe. She was known to be timid, not wild. She collected Twilight memorabilia, Pokemon cards, not drug dealer phone numbers. People searched tirelessly, hoping for the best, fearing the worst. Police called in dive teams, reviewed thousands of hours of security footage, and questioned a wide swath of people. But after weeks of looking, they called off their ground search March 14th. Anita and the family kept looking. On March 22nd, a city employee found Delaine's body in Lake of the Woods near the shore at Water Street, not far from a police detachment. The family was devastated, having hoped against hope that they would find Delaine alive, even if she had gone through some sort of torment. Instead, they were confronted with the finality of the 16-year-old girl's death.
I didn't cry much. I still don't cry much.
I remember hearing the screams of my dad and my mom.
I remember people like surrounding me too. And I just wanted to be alone, but then they just came anyways and started holding me. I was like,
Lori had to break the bad news.
Yeah, that's when I got up, went to my mom and dad, started hugging them. I had to leave to go tell my sisters.
First, I went to go to my grandpa's room. He's like, Grandpa, then. And he's like, what? Like, we found Delaine. He's like, where is she? Is she okay? And I was like,
she's gone.
You started hugging me and crying. He's like, how's your grandma? I called my other grandma from Winnipeg. She started crying. I was like, care, we'll call the girls.
I woke them up then.
I'm like, Dana.
Then they're like,
what?
Then I have to tell you something. Then they're like, they're just waking up to. It's like,
we found Delaine and
Dana. She's like, is she okay? Is she safe?
No.
She's gone.
She's gone.
Dana's freaking out, crying.
The coroner said Delaine died of drowning and didn't find any evidence of rape or physical assault, but there were unsettling elements that didn't seem to add up for her mom, Anita. While Delaine did have significant quantities of alcohol in her bloodstream, she questions how much her daughter could have consumed since multiple alcohol retailers declined to sell to the group. Plus, there were a variety of markings on her arms and legs. How could hundreds of searchers and police divers wielding fancy sonar gear miss a body that turned up so close to downtown? What happened to the zip-up she was wearing? And another thing, a single black Etnies shoe, identical to the one she was wearing when she last left her house February 27th, was found one street over on the ice in front of the Anglican church. How could that have escaped an entire month of searching? Plus, Delaine had suffered some sort of impact to her head. And of course, Anita couldn't help but wonder how her daughter ended up in the water in the first place, considering it was the dead of winter when she vanished. All in all, the circumstances of Delane's discovery made for a bizarre situation. The United Church youth minister who was involved in the hunt for Delane considers it a troubling mystery that haunts Delane's family and this community to this day.
Oh, I want to show you that video. It's so cute. It's like, I want my mom and she's in there. Oh, here it is. I didn't even see it.
Anita and Lori played me a cute clip of Delane getting her molars out.
Just making fun of her because she was coming out of the gate.
She was doped up on pain meds. That was pretty hilarious.
You know, Kenora is beautiful. I've spent all my summers there for 47 years. It's my favorite town in the whole entire world. I really have a lot of love and respect for it. But there is a dark side.
That's Carla again.
And it's no different from where I live here in Oakville, which is seen as a high-end, wealthy suburb and has meth houses. And I've been to some of those places that you're talking about that are very sketchy. And I think it's unrealistic for any town or anyone to think that these places don't exist. Because I think a lot of people won't believe these places exist.
Wait, you have a duck walk, too. She had an odd walk.
A duck walk.
Also, my girl, so like her legs will go, her feet will go that way. Let's see. You know how people have straight walks?
Yeah.
Where they step, like she had a duck walk. Huh. I remember when she was just a little baby. I think she might have been about 2 or 3 years old. Every time she put on her shoes, she'd put her shoes on off her feet. Then I'd really, like take them off of her, and I'd be like, baby, that's not how you put on your shoes. And I put them back on the right way, and she'd take them off and do it again. See? She's such a weirdo sometimes.
Wearing Red Hot Chili Peppers shirt. Meanwhile, you guys are laughing at her.
See, I want my mom.
I love how you can get a good glimpse of her personality in that. She died too soon, but we want to remember her and what she meant to those around her. We'd like to ask any of our listeners to stand up and speak up if you have something to share on this serious topic. We'll get back in touch with Anita on another episode of Stand Up, Speak Up as she tries to make sense of her daughter's death. We'll look at where the broader issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada is headed. Here's a sneak peek of what you can expect.
We're all showing each other music, and she showed me a couple songs, and she was more into, I found, like, that kind of EDM, electric dance music.
All right, so here we are at the OPP office in Kenora, Ontario. Let's see if we find any answers.
You hear people talk about the Highway of Tears, you know, having hitchhiked on that road. I mean, what was the experience like for you?
Pathologists would be looking at these marks and seeing if it's due post-mortem or before death.
We are not just taught through like anti-police rhetoric in our communities. It's more of teaching your kids that they might not be safe in the hands of the police because of what they've experienced and what their people have experienced.
Wanted to do some research on that night that the rain told us.
They kept him against his will, and it was the same girl that was last seen with my daughter.
I've been involved in hundreds of drownings. What I'm seeing is not something that I see on a normal basis on drowning. It looks like her hands were bound.
Now we're going to leave you with the Quentin Larry Roy Cameron homage to K-Town. And as they say in Ojibwe, Miigwech. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm from Canova, Ontario. I play so amiable with a scenario that is expandable. You were acknowledged from Husky to Musky. The skyline is flawless, the place that you must see, because it is very pleasing to the senses. But it is freezing and the wind is present. But we can handle the cold in the north with this warm candle that we call a torch. Unlike the woods in our western Ontario, most neighborhoods in Canova, Ontario enjoy the hobbies before it is spring. Snowboarding, hockey is a common thing. And with every New Year we drink some OE, and during that New Year we smoke little G. I was born as a stunner in the city, Cape Town. I'll tell you what summer is like around my hometown. Party, drink, summer break, or go hit up the skate park and then we just skate. If it's too hot in the summer breeze, yes, we go find a spot to swim, dive off the cliffs, ride a boat on the lake, just to go fish or hunt, watch a concert take place at the harbor front, or just go take a hike and adventure the bush. We light next wrecks, we stay in smoking kush, or travel through powwows for entertainment, or rap for this powwows, have good attainment. You'll meet some good people that you'll remember, like my wops among people and family members. People from Grassy and from Whitefish Bay, so look out in Coochie Chang, I'm from Chalake. It takes true dedication to rap for Cape Town. I'll tell you what's negative around my hometown. Struggle and live in the street. If they didn't try hustle for something to eat, begging for dough, chilling out at the mall to hit LCBO and consume alcohol. These boys take advantage of girls that are drunk, or just act like a savage or act like a punk. They drink too much booze and start acting reckless, and then drink some of booze so they get arrested. Wasting their time doing time in a jail, then committing more crimes every time they make bail. Lacking in school and not wanting to learn, breaking most of the rules, letting all tables turn. Bullying kids that are already depressed. I wrote for all of you kids that are still in distress. Here's to you kids that feel worthless in K-Town. A deal with depression and grief around my hometown. My intention, and you need to compromise. Counseling sessions, your life is worth living. Just contemplate on the advice that I'm giving, and concentrate on what you want in life. Please take this serious. There is much more to life. You will experience. Feel my compassion. Just know that I care for you. I have the passion that no one would spare for you. I want to symbolize for people from Cape Town, and I want to sympathize for people around my hometown.
Happens when we play outside. We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at ivisonvoice.com/podcast.